By whom?
The Tires of Fear.
No.
Well, I don't know.
No, now we go to the third and final decan of Scorpio.
Snakes. Serpents?
So we find Scorpio.
Hydra.
And the decan, the third and final decan of the constellation Scorpio is Hercules.
Wherever men are free,
there will be sons of Hercules.
Rex, can you do something about him?
He looks just like Steve.
Pretty tough.
this is interesting.
We need Matt here.
What is this?
Yeah, Matt.
I don't
Hercules. This map isn't in scale. But if you could see it in scale, Hercules takes up a huge portion of the sky. And you've all seen the movies, the myths, the whole phenomena about this individual Hercules. And we're going to find out what all those little thingies are in his hand.
Chronos.
What?
Oh, that's a bow. Is it a bow?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm wondering what the
heck. Jack ears.
He's seen bending on one knee with his right heel lifted up, as if wounded. His left foot is set directly on the head of the great dragon. Now, as most of you heard me talk about, in the scriptures, north is always evil. South is a mystery. East is forbidden. And only west is the only place to look, and that's in the temple. You only look at the mercy seat. That's the whole point of the direction. And so, like, you can't understand, like, the book of Ezekiel, and coming down from the north and all of the symbolism of Gog and Magog and all that in Ezekiel. Or you can't understand Revelation until you begin to understand that those books were written in the context of what was going on in their culture. And the main thing that was going on in their culture was this, the star map. Now, the dragon is the ultimate symbolism of evil in the scriptures. That great serpent, that dragon, whose name is Satan. Again, just for review, let's go back to Genesis 3 and see where it all starts. Somebody read, starting about 14.
I will. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman.
That's enough. That's the battle. Everything in life is over that one battle of the seed of woman bruising the head of the serpent or of Satan, and of the seed of the snake bruising the heel of the seed of woman. That's all that's ever gone on in time and space. One single thing. That's all that's going on in you. That's all that's going on in the stars. That's all that's going on in the pyramid. That's all that's going on, period. It's all that's going on in the scriptures. Nothing else is happening. Go to Revelation 12. Now, my point of this is Draco in the star chart is at the center or the north. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's the point of massive or most evil, the concentration of evil, the north. the symbol here, you remember this isn't, you can't think about the star map in your traditional way of thinking. You have to think by, not deduction, but by induction. Because each one of these pictures simply provide another part of the mosaic to fill in the mystery, a jigsaw puzzle kind of thing. It's not linear thought. But the point here that you must see is that Hercules is the one on whom the singular job falls of stomping on the head of the chief evil, of overcoming the evil one. You got it? Okay, Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now go down to verse 9, or we'll just start in verse 7. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place any more found in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is the point of the battle. This is where the battle is enjoined. This is where we will see whether or not all these other little parts of the puzzle are true. Because that's the point of the great dragon. That's the point of the conflict. If the conflict isn't won at this point, you're lost. Now, in other places in the scriptures, internalizing this, that great dragon is called the Antichrist. So this is going on, not just in space, not just in the world, but this is the revelation of the battle in you. Got it? That's why John said, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Okay. In his right hand, Hercules has a great club. Possibly, in some star maps, it's a sword. In his left hand, he holds a triple-headed monster of some sort. The name of the monster is Cerberus. He has 3 heads. The apple branch is also in his hand. And this, in mythology, it's symbolic of the golden apples of the Hesperides, which he obtained by killing that 3-headed Hydra by whom they were guarded. Now, did you study mythology very much?
I have alone. I know about it.
Do you know about the 12 labors of Hercules? You have?
I can recite them to you right now.
Okay, if I can give them to you, can you fill in some details?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because they're perversions. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you what Aristotle said about Hercules. Well, he said it about all myths. He said the mythology is really religion and philosophy, which had been lost and that had been added, and much had been added after the mythical style. While much had come down and may have been preserved to our times as the remains of ancient wisdom. Another concurrent historian of Aristotle said, the fragments of a tradition which transmitted the knowledge of divine things possessed in the earliest times. Aratus, who was the poet that Paul quoted in the book of Acts, said of Hercules, he said, an image none knows certainly to name, nor what he labors for. And again, as the inexplicable image. Paul, remember in the book of Acts at the Mars Hill? Paul said to the unknown God, I think it wasn't to the unknown God. I think it was to Hercules. The inexplicable image. The unknowable. The inexplicable. Because Hercules was always the inexplicable to the Greeks.
Why is that?
They didn't know what his labors meant. Well, we'll see. I'll show you. Okay. He has a bow and a quiver. You see the bow and the quiver? Okay. We'll get into back to that. Later. He is wrapped with the skin of a lion that he has slain. And the zodiac in Egypt, in Dendera, and his name in Egyptian is Baal, which means who cometh. The idea that he cometh to destroy. He cometh to destroy the works of the devil by crushing the serpent's hand. In Arabic, he was called Al-Ghiskali, the strong one. Just to couple it, there are 113 stars in Hercules. The brightest star is in his head. And it's called Ras Al-Gethi. And it means the head of him who bruises. Now, bruises. Remember what we just saw in Genesis. Bruises is the word that it says, he shall bruise his heel. Speaking of the serpent, and the seed of woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. The word bruise there is not a good translation. It's better translated overcome. In most of you right now, there's a battle going on in all of you. And it's this great battle that's pictured in everything we're studying here. And it comes to a focal point here in the north, where the serpent and this mysterious Hercules are fighting. And the snake every once in a while wins and he whips his tail up around and wraps it around your head and you think, oh shit. He's bruising your heel. In other words, the reason the heel is symbolic is because it affects the way you walk. In ancient times, to walk meant how you conducted your life. Another way of saying it is the flesh is trying to suppress down the spirit is trying to suppress down the flesh, so you cannot do what you want to do. In other words, you're in the midst of this conflict between Hercules and Draco. That's the lie. The truth is, it's already done. The only reason that there's still a battle going on is in you, within your universe, is because that evil one has raised himself from the dead from a deadly head wound, as it says in Revelation 13. He's been wounded unto death in his head. His head has been overcome or bruised or crushed, but he has the capacity to raise himself from the dead. But only in the lie, only in your mind, nowhere else. That's why your battle has never anything to do with anything external. Am I communicating? Mm-hmm. The battle has been over. It's been over since the day God made the stars. It was shown. Then why in the hell are we doing this? God could have, I'd have done this a whole lot different. You know what would happen if I had been God and I was going to try to do this stuff? I'd have made a whole bunch of things, beings, that I soon would have gotten bored with. You know, because if I was confronted and I wanted a piece of ass, I'd have made a beautiful woman, right? And if I wanted to go beat up somebody, I'd have made a big, strong guy. And if I wanted money, I'd have made somebody that could spin gold. And if I wanted whatever I wanted, I would have created that being to accomplish that end. And because I was God and had a broader range of experience and talents and interests than anything that I created, I would, by definition, have to get bored with that which I created.
Like toys.
It'd be toys. Am I communicating? Mm-hmm. That's why, in type, almost every one of your relationships that you've ever had, down at the gut level, you've gotten bored with. Because you tried to mold them, including your friends, not just opposite sex stuff. You tried to mold them after your image. In other words, your image of what you wanted at that kind of thing. And you moved them and manipulated them to, and you did it automatically. You didn't even think about it. Until you manipulated them into something that you were bored with.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to any of you?
Yeah. But it doesn't answer the question.
What God is doing, He's allowing, He's taking the ultimate risk. He's creating something, a being, an entity, a unit, a something. And He's saying to everything, every kind, every possible form of antagonism, take your best shot. Because what God wants, you know, the greatest times I've ever had in my life, from the time I was a child until now, is when I was with someone, male, you know, I'm not talking just sexual, but sexual big time, who would do something that I wanted without me telling him to, or without me suggesting it. You understand?
Yeah.
Anything else, if you have to manipulate the arena to cause what you want to take place to happen, there's only one possible result. Boredom. You can't get it up. God wants, and He took the ultimate risk to do it. He said, okay, go out and push against every possible barrier there is. Find out everything that it isn't. Then fellowship is possible. True fellowship. Then God can have a pal.
Here's what I don't understand. That all makes sense. Now, why wasn't that finished when Jesus Christ died and went through hell and was resurrected? And
it was.
It's done, right?
It's done.
You got the Father and the Son and they're pals.
Okay.
So how come 2,000 years have taken place and these idiots are sitting here?
It's time for my infamous little chart.
I've never understood.
You haven't done my
what in the hell is why we do this.
Oh, okay.
These charts always work well on tape.
What?
The charts always work well on tape.
This is a box.
For those of you at home.
For those of you listening at home.
Rex is not narrating.
Man, you want me to draw this, but I don't know how.
What?
You said you wanted me to draw this, but I don't know how. So there.
It's a rubber. Ooh, pretty long one. I was going to say.
You got to visualize it. Wait, wait, where's that? Where's that?
He's in his office.
Where
does
that go?
It goes
back. The only way you can visualize this, if you, you know what, you know what a nautilus is. Okay. You know, all of you know what a nautilus is? This no, seashell. It's the beautiful, perfect seashell. It's you see in advertising, it's one of the most beautiful things in creation in terms of its symmetry. Well, you gotta visualize this time and space business as an inverted nautilus. In other words, this point and this point are the same, and it's coming back on itself. Can you think about that a minute?
Well, you're talking about starting at the center?
I'm talking about this point and this point are the same.
Well, now hold on.
Okay. This may be the wrong group for this.
This may be the wrong group for this. This point and this point are the same in this other chart.
Yeah, I understand that. The only difference is space. You got space here.
Right. You understand? Am I communicating it all there?
The only thing that makes it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's kind of.
This space right here and this space right here, which are the only two really reference points, here and here in this chart, is eternity. And in eternity is God, the Father. Okay. Now, God the Father wanted something. And so he spoke. And the something that came into being out of nothing. And the instant... I mean, from God's standpoint, this instant and this instant are the same. They're whack. There's no time. It's just, it's spoken and it exists. Okay? What he wanted was to reproduce himself.
It's not good that a man should be alone.
It's not good that a man should be alone.
Okay.
He wanted to he reproduced himself. He wanted a family. How in the hell can he create a family? There's two things God can't do from our standpoint. He can't lie and he can't create a family. If he creates beings, all he will create are angels. And he can create an infinite number of angels that can do an infinite number of things, but God gets bored with angels.
They're toys.
Big, strong, powerful guys that can wipe out 185,000 millionaires. 187,000.
Child
your God,
play.
Who cares? Huh?
Child's play.
Yeah, it's a toy. If you get this stuff in your mind, your life will never be the same, I guarantee you. Okay, now what happened?
I thought God could do anything.
No.
That's why he was God.
No.
The problem is it can't even, it's quantity, it's quality.
Now watch. Okay, so now we got God the Father.
By himself.
By himself, alone.
It's true, dark in here. What do you like?
God, he just started hanging around, doing God stuff. You got it? He's the Walter. What?
Down at the mall.
And he was doing God stuff, whatever they all are.
Then he says, aha. By the way, the Zohar says that there are 1,008 of these things. Which is another story, but
it helps.
There's 1,008 time and space creation universes.
Yeah. My brain's starting to overheat.
No, I think it's great. It helps.
Okay. Is it 1,008 universes or 1,008 dimensions?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Huh?
Something I want to tell you later.
Okay, well, wait a minute. So now, God spoke. And everything that came out of his mouth had to be God. I mean, it couldn't be something other than God. You understand?
Yep.
Okay, so therefore, and the universe came into being. And everything in that universe accomplished, had to accomplish, by definition,
had to accomplish the purpose that he intended for it. That's why he said, my word shall not return unto me void. He's not talking about the words of the Bible, he's talking about his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. Okay, so he spoke, and the universe came into existence. Now all we've done with these feasts and the scriptures and everything is we have quantified time and space. It doesn't matter, I mean, it doesn't matter whether we know that shit or not.
Good, because I don't understand quantify.
Well, quantify means if I throw down 100 pennies, you count them and put them in an order.
It's kind of like each of these little things on the star chart.
Put them in a little pile.
Okay.
That's, the star chart quantifies the universe.
And because of what you just said, every little piece has to reveal him.
Every little thing in there has to reveal him.
Okay.
Nothing cannot reveal him.
Okay?
Okay, so now he's got this weird setup that in space, without regard to time, there had to be a test. We had to get stuff coming at us and testing, and in time and space there had to be a test. So he had to have his own agency in every dimension. In space, without regard to time, God the Father is the Holy Spirit. Because he can't create anything by definition that he isn't in charge of or he isn't head of. You got it? Okay, then you'll see. I'll bring this together in a minute, I promise. But God then, in time and space together, his name is Jesus Christ. The only reason the Word is made flesh because it has the dimension of both time and space. But God, that's where we get the idea of the Trinity. He's always, he can't be anything different than he ever is. He's God the Father, you know, he's all that stuff. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You got it? It's not anything weird. What?
Okay. Was Jesus Christ in all time and all space? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he's right at the center of all that maelstrom of stuff.
Maelstrom, that's a good word.
This makes sense, but God in time and space, Jesus Christ, when he was finished, ascended, right? Stepped out of time.
Just a minute. Okay, so now, God's doing stuff. And Christ has always been, Christ has always been in the equation. Let me change this a minute. God in time and space is Christ, not Jesus Christ. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah. That makes
sense. So what? Like throughout the Old Testament, he is the angel of the Lord, the singular angel of the Lord. When Abraham was blessed, he was Melchizedek. He is always, in other words, it's God's agency with form. You got it?
God's incarnation in flesh.
Right. But in order to satisfy his justice, he had to go through all the stuff, who he is, he had to go all the stuff that's recorded in the Bible. I mean, there's nothing, all that does is quantify this. There's nothing sacred about that.
It's just like the keeps the structure in
place. Right, it's just words about the Word. Okay? So now, so Christ, warning her up, helping out, i.e. in Adam, and in Eve, and in all throughout, he wasn't the agent, God knew what was going to happen, but he was like, he was there. Can you settle that? Can you accept that?
Yeah.
Okay, so then he took on him the form of man. So Christ became Jesus Christ in a particular moment at the appointed time in time. Okay? And he went through the stuff, and at the time that he was transfigured, when time and space has lost its hold on him, then he flew up here, and now it was the Father plus the Son.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's my question. If he leaves time, why doesn't he go back to being the Father? I mean, he is the Father.
That's what I'm... He created a new thing. And now at that juncture, at the... That's why the transfiguration was so momentous.
Because God had a son.
Because God now had a tested son that had gone through every possible temptation. And it...
It's like there's a lump, a singular lump of clay, but there's a part of the clay that's taken off and gone through the fire and it's become ceramic.
Now it's,
and it comes
now
back
there
and
can
it's
be
still,
communion.
And there's still this, from the same lump of clay, but
right.
It's the ceramic pot.
Right. Now they can now there's fellowship between the Father and the Son.
I don't understand how there's two.
Well, wait a minute, you get more confused. You understand? But God's Jesus, the scriptures say, instead of the joy that was set before him, he left that place. And he came off and he endured the cross. And he endured the cross so that there would be the Father and the Son plus the bride. Wow. Now when the bride is finished, then point down there, point A and point B will become one again. Which you already have, but we haven't seen it in time. That's what this whole Bible is about. Now, just as the Son was tested, and time and space, including natural law, lost its hold on him, so now we, as the body of Christ, or the bride, body belonging to Christ, are now being tested in every dimension. So time and space will lose its hold on us. So the transfiguration will occur in the bride. But when the transfiguration occurs in the bride, time will have no more purpose, and it will end.
Yeah, different dimension.
When the Father spoke time and space into being, that instant, I mean, in time and space was the Son, Christ, not Jesus Christ. The Father didn't leave being the Father. So at that point, there was two.
Well, you got to understand, eternity is like a word in the Hebrew. Eternity is the word olam, as we've talked about. And olam means the vanishing point. From our perspective, the vanishing point is the place in which there was no time. But, you know, this sounds mystical and weird and everything, but I visited that place twice. And there's something going on. There's something because there's an overriding sense of joy, and there's a light emanating from every point. There is, I'm sure I only saw a shadow of it. And so, all I'm asking you to do is, for the moment, don't lock into what I said about eternity being no time. It's different than what we know. That's all we can know about it. There's something going on there that's precious, that's love, that's joy, that is a longing in all of us to be a party to. I can't, and no one can. We can see it in symbolism, in metaphor. We can capture a little pieces of it in metaphor, but no one, and if anybody tells you they can describe it, they're full of shit. The only reason that the book of Revelation talks about stuff like the streets are paved with gold is that gold is the most precious thing here. It's the least precious thing there. In other words, it's so common as pavement or dust. I mean, it's not like we're not going to live as we live now. And these folks that wrote this
weren't writing in terms of architectural plans. They were talking about impossible things to describe with words. They were talking about spiritual things. But that's the goal. That's why we're here. Now, whether or not the son and the bride have quote-unquote children is unknowable to us now. The scriptures are silent. I mean, you understand?
One thing at a time.
Well, I was thinking about in that pattern. You know, obviously, for the pattern to be good, the way we think, it has to keep going. But the great thing about the bride is she's that pattern in herself.
Amen. She's her own.
This dies, and it, you know.
Right, that's why the most that we can be after the flesh are friends of the bridegroom. Out of us is taken the bride.
Out of our spirit?
Out of our, yeah. Each, that seed, that sperm of God that in each one of us are the cells of the bride of Christ from Abel onward.
Okay.
You got it a little bit? Do you understand this stuff? You're not arguing with me. Huh.
So our spiritual makeup are, just what you said, the cells of the bride.
Right. We, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And as we said, talking about, in my Father's house are many mansions. The Father's house is symbolized in the temple. You know, we talked about last night, in my Father's house there are many bodies, or synagogues.
I saw a little of that the other night when we were laying hands on Lee. I don't know. I saw,
Well, when she yeah, man. I know this stuff sounds spacey, but
no.
It's only what I've been able to understand.
Yeah, it's not as hard to hear as you.
Yeah.
Huh?
The way the church taught, there was no comprehension.
Yeah, because it didn't make sense.
Now, the one thing, the reason I want Daryl to get, I wish Daryl was Robert Graves. That's what I wish.
Poof, dead. Just like he said.
But we'll see in a minute that one of the labors of Hercules was, he did 12 labors of Hercules. One of his labors was he had to go rescue the princess from the sea monster, and then he was swallowed up in the belly of the whale or the sea monster for 3 days and three nights. And then he got out of it by killing the sea monster and then rescued the princess. By the act of killing the sea monster, he rescued the princess. Now, you can see what that is, obviously. It's the picture of what Jesus Christ did in the three nights that he spent in the grave. Now, what I'm convinced of, however, is, you know, and the scriptures are silent on that. What I'm convinced of is that in especially Hercules, but in pictured in many of these symbols, is we can get a feeling and a possible teeny bitty comprehension of what took place, what that battlefield was like for Jesus Christ those 3 days and those three nights in the spirit, in the spiritual realm. And that's one of the things, as far as I know, the star map or the star charts are the only place in time and space where that information is hidden. Now, part of the way in which it's knowable is to go back and try to understand the myths of the ancient times that were the perversions of the one great truth.
Even today, isn't all our hero worship, like when you see Rambo and stuff like that, isn't like that sort of a vain attempt to see what was going on in that
world? Yeah. Now, does that, if I communicated, or am I, have I lost everybody?
Well, I just want to... The worst thing in the world that can happen to me is to feel like the dunce of the class. and I feel everybody else in the class, but I'm not going to freak out about it. I'm just going to be content where I am. But I feel like everybody's understanding what you're saying, and I don't have any idea what this means, but that's okay. I just don't.
You know, I think your problem with this has something to do with the way you conceptualize space.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth. I don't think, like, people think different. You know, they organize things differently in their head. And I think yours has something to do with that.
I'm just not going to worry about it.
Let's go to First John a minute. I mean, just John. Plain John. We're going to Plain John a minute.
Plain old John. Plain old John. Religion.
John what?
1:1.
You know, I get hung up on stuff like, I mean, this poor guy, Jesus Christ, got the shit kicked out of him, right? I mean, he went through hell, literally, right? Well, how come he's got to do it now in me and you? I mean,
he doesn't.
Well, it's done.
It's done. All you're doing is, go, okay, stop. Okay, well, here's where we go. Stop. Keep your finger in John and go to Revelation 13.
John will mind.
John.
John will mind. He's a reveler.
You heard the rabbi, right? St. John.
Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Now, if you could only see, if we could see in the spirit, that's a picture of you. Now, when we go through this thing, we'll see that that's a compilation of these beasts and creepy crawly things that are in this star map. That's what it's referring to, and in myth. But it's really a picture of your subconscious mind.
The one back here, he lost 3 of his crowns.
Right, just a minute. And the beast I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. Now, hear me. There's only one of these heads in this 7-headed beast. That's the control point. All the other heads are in obedience to that one head. Am I communicating? Mm-hmm. All right. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. Right here. Watch Hercules stomp on his head. Watch Christ say that now the devil is destroyed. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. That's what everybody in the world is doing, is they're wondering in awe after this beast that was healed from his deadly head wound. It's called the kingdom of self. You got it? And they worshipped the dragon. It didn't matter if they're doing it in God's name or Bruce's name. As long as the kingdom of self is worshipped, they're worshipping the dragon. That's all they're capable of doing. Got it? Which gave power unto the beast. Who is the beast? And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto this beast? Isn't that what you always say? Isn't that what we say? Who is able to make war with him? Who is able to overcome him? There's a lot of you don't believe what I'm saying here. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things. Now, have you ever done? Spoke great things and blasphemies? You speak a blasphemy every time you deny it is finished. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, 42 months is 3.5 years. That's the time. In the mystical time between the baptism of Christ, in which he caused the oblation to cease, and the death on the cross, the actual seeing of the death. In you, it's the time from which you start thinking, oh, maybe I believe in this yet, to the time you know it. Then he has no more power. He can only continue that period of time, that limited time. That's the promise to you. Now, for some of you, he's like at 41.999 months. You're just about there. You can see it right in front of you. The 42 months can be in the spirit 1 second, or it can be 100 years. You understand me? Yeah. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. That's all that man can do, is blaspheme God. Because everything that man does denies the finishedness. In the Hebrew, to blaspheme means to deny the foundation. That's all blaspheming means. You deny the foundation from our perspective when we say it isn't finished. This is the stuff they'll kill you for. Now, he isn't suffering. As you think of suffering, he's done it once. By one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Well, it's like the analogy you use about the seed. I mean, you know, by his act, the seed was shed into the whole thing was the womb, and the womb was sealed up, so it was finished. Everything was intact. All that has to take place is for the baby to grow to term, and then it'll be finished.
It was given on him to make war with the saints. That's all he's ever done. To overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I mean, he's got it already. He doesn't need to. All these idiots running around fighting evil. But that's what you are still doing, some of you. You're trying to fight evil inside you. You're just as idiotic as the Falwells are, or the Pat Robertsons are.
Well, that's, I mean, what it means, obviously, to blaspheme his tabernacle. I mean, to say that he ought to be different.
All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Isn't that true? Except all shall dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
Okay, so the test and the tribulation that comes against any particular vessel, it's really coming against him, but that's not suffering for him because it's already over.
All you have to do at any moment along the pathway, you have to drink the cup. But he suffered the result of drinking the cup. You have to be baptized in the fire, but he passed through the fire. You have to suffer with in order to reign with. Because what we call suffering is just this process of testing.
So this thing and whatever it is that goes on in here is in time, but him inside of this thing is out of time.
Can you capture it a little bit?
That's why you always say that we are already seated with him.
Amen.
Okay.
Because to us it looks like we're still in time.
That's right. That's why love, that's why all the stuff we have to talk about and everything. I mean, this is the predicate for everything I've ever taught. But this, you know, gives it some... A bit. Go to Isaiah 30.
Wait. We're going
to
blow up St. John.
No, we're going to John, but I want to show you something.
Okay.
Well, 30 verse 15. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, and return is the Hebrew word shub, which means turn from self. That's all it means.
Shub.
Shub. In returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. You will, you'll always will not to do that. You understand? I mean, there's a little voice. It can't be that easy. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 40, I mean. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. In quietness, and in confidence, in rest. War not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in the high places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Doesn't mean we run around saying the Beatitudes all day. It means that we know for a certainty that every thought we think is Christ. It took Jesus 30 years to learn that. You understand me? He couldn't know that until he was baptized. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, that's all that says.
Okay.
Now go to Colossians. Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians.
Colossians.
Philippians, Colossians.
That would be what?
Colossians 1, verse 9. And he's just talking about his that the Colossians had declared their love in the Spirit unto Paul and Timothy, etc. Okay. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge. Now, again, we're talking about you as a temple, and that the glory of God might fill the temple, just as it did at the dedication. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now that's the weirdie. I mean, this is what's going to set you apart from everybody else. Again, the only thing that has set me apart from you in the years that we've known each other is that I've always seen the end, and I've never varied from that end. I mean, I've screwed up a jillion times, but nothing it's like, that's what we're going to see in The Archer in a minute. It's like John Song, The Archer. It's happy as the man whose quiver is full. Well, that's God. He knows that he's the perfect archer. He has shot the arrow, no matter, and it looks like it's going away from the target, but it is there. And it looks like it's going away from the target because it must, by definition, be tested. And each of you have within you an inertial guidance system. That means that if you take this out of the way, i.e. quit judging by the senses and say, oh shit, I'm going the wrong way, that target is automatic. Now that's what it means to have Christ, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, that's what we talked about last night, about confession. For you now, confession means, oh, I'm sorry I did this. And that'll be all right for a while. That's part of this, when the arrow starts first out, it's, man, and it, everything's wrong. But confession now, after you're sent out, confession means, and you were sent out, remember? Mm-hmm. Confession means that you speak the same thing. Confession is the word homologia, or logia. And it means to speak the same thing as God. Okay, now watch. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, i.e. sensory perception, and hath translated us, metamorpho is the word, transfigured us, past tense, into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have already been translated. All that is necessary is for you to see it. The moment you see it, time will end. Okay. The battle is only here. All right. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now we're talking, now we're going to get down. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That's what the question. It's impossible for anything in time and space not to have been by him and for him. Every knee is already bowing. Every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't matter what they're doing. These idiots that are running around, you know. They, yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing in time and space that can't confess that he's Lord. There's nothing in time and space, there's no knee in time and space that cannot be bent. Now your obvious answer, well, your question is, well, what does that have to do with me? Nothing. You understand? God isn't that. You didn't create God for your good pleasure. Some of you think you did. Finally, let it come into your being that God created you for his good pleasure. Two different ways of thinking. The only reason you're here, the only reason you listen to me night after night, is because somehow you intuit that mystery. That your only reason for existence is to be of value to God. You've tried everything else. If you found something that worked, you certainly wouldn't be here.
Amen.
All right. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in the heaven or heaven. And you that were sometime, or better translated, aforetime, alienated and enemies in your mind. It's the only place you've ever been an enemy of God, in your mind. You got it? You were an enemy by your own wicked works, because you think you had to do something. That made and defined and revealed the lie of your mind that you believed you were separate, so you had to work for something. Yet now hath he reconciled. The word reconciled means exchanged. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Not someday, today. You are now holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
What does unreprovable mean?
I mean, nobody can argue with you.
Nobody can dispute.
Yeah. If you continue in the faith.
Wait a minute, those things. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable. What does it mean? Is that vis-a-vis God, vis-a-vis other men?
I mean, in his sight.
What's the purpose of a vessel being made holy, unblameable, and unreprovable?
Only in his sight. Do you understand? What does he care about the vessel?
Well, I don't know. What's the you? He's made something. Something. What's that mean?
What do you think it means?
Well, I don't know.
Is it Harry?
Well, it says you.
Is it are you?
It doesn't say Jesus Christ.
Are you Harry? You know, we've been through this before.
I know. You know, I mean, we can go again now for a couple hours. It's still... No, I gotta be honest. I'm me.
That's fine to be you. But the only question is, who is it?
I can't honestly answer that question. I mean, I know I'm supposed to say Jesus.
No,
Christ,
you're not supposed to say anything.
I don't know what that means.
You're not supposed to say anything.
I don't know who I am. I just know that there's a thing here that has some kind of an awareness that does stuff.
Okay, watch. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, all you do, if in your present moment, all you can do is hope. So hope a minute. Okay. The hope of the gospel, which you have heard. Okay, you've heard it. Which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Right? What does that do to evangelism? Whereof I, Paul, am made a servant or minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up or complete that which is behind or lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Understand? All that Paul was doing, all you are doing, all I am doing, is filling up the affliction that is lacking, i.e., the arena that has not been tested.
So through us, Christ is being tested, has been tested in all things.
Now the bride is being perfected.
As Jackie was saying in the womb.
Right. Well,
so this is what's behind, what's lacking of the testing of the body that is Christ.
That belongs to Christ.
Right. Christ is already, he's already gone through this process.
Right.
And now his bride is going through this process, the same process.
Same process. Except she doesn't have to go down.
Okay.
When Christ
we'll think in linear stuff a minute, okay? At some point in time, Christ was born. Right? So Christ was born, and he just sort of did stuff. Sometimes he was happy, sometimes he was sad, sometimes he was pissed off, somebody didn't know who he was. You know, all the stuff that we've talked about. Okay, then a massive point came when he was 12. And that is, he was confronted with the law.
Got it?
He became a child up to this point. He was it from his birth to that point, and who knows when that was. It was, I don't know when it was, but it was at some point. At some point, he was confronted. We don't know if it was 12 or not. He was confronted with the law, and in modern terms, he was bar mitzvah. It means a child of the law. Up to that point, the sin is impossible. Why? Because the law says so. Okay? You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Christ wasn't a perfect kid.
Yeah, I understand that.
Anyway, but he was confronted with the law, and during this period of time, he pushed against all these barriers. Now he's confronted with the law. Then he goes along, and he finds out, slowly it dawns on him who he is, and then he's baptized. The moment he knows who he is, he's baptized. He knows who he is by reading the scriptures and going to the feasts. Then he makes some disciples. 42 months later, just before the cross, he was transfigured.
I have a question. He was baptized, did he put off his old self? His realization in baptism was that he was the Son of God.
When he was baptized, the Son of Man was buried.
Okay.
If you're going to tell me that I just haven't gotten to the point of being baptized yet, then I'm going to go, aha, I understand.
That's right.
I understand. Okay.
I mean, a lot of us have gone through this point. Everybody here, all of you guys, everybody that's in the Bible service, that are coming, we've reached this point. And it means, all this means when we touch all, we believe in Jesus. Sometimes. You understand? You've been baptized before 1,000 times. Who cares? That's not what you've been, is being dunked. To be baptized means now you know who you are. Now, the real baptism is when you cross the Jordan River.
Okay. You could nail me to a wall and I couldn't deny that I believe in Jesus.
Okay.
But there's no way I can tell you that.
It's only after you're baptized and you have the faith of Jesus. Understand? Okay, now you have the faith of Jesus and you have to go for a little bit of time, 42 months, and then you're transfigured. And at the transfiguration, that's as far as you go.
He's already gone.
He's already gone the rest. It was like he became the first kernel of wheat.
in the flesh, you know what I mean? He had to go through and he had to go down to the ground and get rotten and go through the hell. But now all you have to do is sprout forth.
The stuff you say about this doesn't have a damn thing to do with you and blah, blah, blah.
Doesn't have to do with this.
It's like, I'm only going as far as baptized.
You understand? You had a question about transfiguration out there.
You pretty much answered it. I was wondering at the point we corporately realize who we are, that this transfiguration, there's essentially no more need for space and time.
Well, I know, but we don't know when that is, because we don't know, I kind of hope it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I understand, I'm just saying.
But we don't know who that would lead.
At the point of baptism, I mean, what you answered, at the point of baptism, you're not worried about yourself anymore anyway. I mean, you've already seen that.
Right, you've mourned. Baptism is, to continue what we talked about the other night, after baptism is when you mourn for yourself. You've been buried. You know, you go through the 30-day mourning process, or whatever, you know.
I feel like big loads have been lifted.
Okay. Now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. For I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest, where? Only to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only time the word glory is ever used in the scriptures, it means that point of being transfigured. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's all I'm trying to do. Not to try to get you to change anything, but just to get you to stop believing the lies. Got it? Okay. Anybody have anything else? We didn't do anything I wanted to do tonight.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
Daryl
has a homework assignment.
We talked about Hercules.
Just barely. Daryl has homework. September, you got to make sure he does his homework.
He loves this.
You know, I don't know if it jogs, but I was thinking about you were saying Hercules to the Greeks. They didn't know what he did.
Well, they knew what he did, but they didn't know why he did it.
Who the hell is this guy? It's not like all the other guys.
We'll see that more clearly.
But it's sort of like Jesus does.
Yeah. Same thing.
I feel like I have to be religious.
Hey, perfect.
Yay! Take it, big guy. Yay.